My name is J. Tom Washburn. I'm the minister at the Austin Avenue Church of Christ. We are continuing our study in the book of Philippians. We only have three lessons left as we finish out this book. Paul's about to address the big issues that are going to take place. Our last lesson will actually deal with the big issue between two ladies that are fighting and causing division inside of this church. But before that, he wants to address the heart and the way that people feel about themselves and the way that people justify themselves. So I'm going to read to you from Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Paul writes, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again. And then it's a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If anyone else thinks that he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is by faith. I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his suffering and becoming like him in his death, and somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead." As Paul begins writing this section of Scripture, I'm sure that he felt at times just a little ridiculous because he's almost having to defend himself. There are a group of people who feel like they're more righteous than the others. And I'm going to stop right here for just a minute, and I want to say this. Folks, if you're in Christ, you're in Christ. If you're a child of God, you're a child of God. And you don't look down on one another because you both carry with you the same promises. But there are some who feel like they're more righteous than others. And what Paul's trying to say here is this: you don't have anything to brag about. If anybody had something to brag about, it's me. And he says, and I don't have anything to brag about. You know, the truth of the matter is all of us had to have our sins forgiven by Jesus Christ. Some people have sins that folks look down on. Some people have sins that are socially acceptable. But nobody has a sin that is acceptable to God. I don't care what your sin is, it separates you from God. You may think somebody's sin is grievous and horrible and terrible, and so therefore you're better than they are. That's not the way that God looks at it. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. You're either forgiven or you're a sinner. You're either lost or you're saved. There's no in-between grounds, and there's no gradation of ground. You're either in or you're out. And Paul's saying, I want you to quit looking down, but there's only one thing that matters, and that's being in Jesus Christ, having that righteousness of Jesus Christ, being covered in his righteousness because you don't have any righteousness of your own. You know, it's funny how we grade sin. There are some sins that we think of as worse than others, and those tend to be the sins that we don't struggle with. If I don't understand something, if something seems appalling to me, something I would never do, then those people are just horrible people. But if I see somebody struggling with a sin that I struggle with, we tend to understand and say, oh, I mean, you know, bless their heart. They're really trying. They're really working at it. Folks, all of us have sin. And if our sins were known by the world, every one of us would have to hide our face in shame. And so we try to make up for it by the things we do. And I'm going to let you know, you're not saved by the things you do and the awards you've won. If you were, I'd be better off than some of you. I've won the Casey Moser Award. I've sat on the board of LTC. I sit on the board of Red River Family Encampment. I've taught large crowds of people. I've been a preacher for over 40 years. I have award after award after award and recognition after recognition after recognition. But I want you to know something. Come the day of judgment, those things don't matter 10 cents. The only thing that matters is, do I have Jesus Christ? Do I know Jesus Christ? Am I covered in His blood? You see, that's our main goal. That needs to be our purpose, is that I want to be known by Christ. I want to know Him. I want to know Christ. I want to know His power. I want to know His resurrection. I want to share in His mission. I even want to share in His suffering, because I want to know Christ. And somehow, I want to receive the blessings that come through Him. You see, I'm not saved by fulfilling somebody's religious checklist. I'm saved by Jesus Christ. I'm saved by His blood, and I'm saved by entering into that covenant relationship with Him, by accepting what He offers to me. You know, you can have people go through all of the steps that you consider the steps of salvation and outwardly fulfill all of those things, but if inwardly they haven't yielded their life to Christ, they're just lost. Paul says in Romans 12, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord. He's talking about, I want you to give Him everything. When he says in Galatians, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ now lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. He's saying, I want you to live your life with a different standard than the world. It's not about your preferences. It's not about your goals. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. You know, every day as children of God, we need to open our eyes and look and say, who am I trying to please today? Am I trying to please the world? Am I trying to please my family? Am I trying to please myself? Or is my main goal, I want to make sure that God is glorified. Our goal needs to be the glory of Jesus Christ, holding Him up to the world, not trying to seek our own good, not even trying to seek our own recognition, but trying to attain the resurrection from the dead, trying to attain eternal life. I don't gain it by doing good things, but I do things that are good, because I'm being governed by Christ and I'm trying to glorify God. There's some in the religious world that don't understand the difference between the two. I hope you do. I hope you understand that trying to live in a way that glorifies God isn't trying to earn your salvation. You can't earn your salvation. No, living a life that glorifies God is just the natural response. It's the natural thank you to what God has done for you.